This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 716-748-0144. Or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to station 2, click on the listen icon. You can also participate during this show with calling questions to our guests toll free. USA and Canada, 888-429-5471. Tonight's guest, Carrie Wedler, a fiery young lady that is not afraid to speak her mind when it comes to injustices and political wrongdoings. Carrie is a nice Jewish girl. Well, we have to put that in. Carrie is a very, very nice Jewish girl. So, Carrie, tell us how you became a self-hating Jew, an anti-Semite. It seems like they're hitting you up with the same rhetoric statements that they try to use on all of us that speak out about the wrongdoings of the Israeli war machine. Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, I became a self-hating Jew. I think it's been a while because I always knew that something was not right with the Israeli narrative. But it wasn't until this summer, the most recent onslaught on Gaza, that I really started to look into it and really look into the history. And so it was this summer that I became a self-hating Jew. And it was the first time I had really engaged in debate or conversation with people who support Israel. So it was just a huge shock to me. I was not expecting what was coming.
Well, welcome to the attack world, because it seems like every time we even bring up the word Israel and wrong, guess what? Mm-hmm. We're anti-Semites. Mm-hmm. They don't use that on me anymore. Now they call me a Jew hater. That's a new one. They don't, every time they tried to call me a Semite, well, hello, I'm Palestinian. I am a Semite. Right. So what are you talking about? So they stopped exactly. That. They stopped that. And now they're like, oh, you're a Jew hater. I don't hate anybody. I just hate people that are doing wrong to other people. And I'm sure you're the same way.
Yeah, totally. And that, I mean, I think that's the reason I waited so long to discuss it or investigate it, because as I said in my video, I just assumed that Jews were good. I grew up in Los Angeles, and it's like every street banner on streetlights that you drive past is something about Jewish people. You know, it's either something for the holidays or something about theater or something about the Holocaust. And you just assume growing up in that environment that, you know, if you have Jewish friends, you go to school with Jewish people, that all Jews are good. And that's, of course, irrational, but when you're young and you don't think about it and it's being drilled into your brain, it's sort of easy to have that misconception. And that goes with any group of people. It's not just Jews, but I think that considering the crimes of Israel, it's a little bit more exaggerated when people are so prone to believe that Jews are good no matter what, in the face of such a drastic contradiction of that.
Well, see, that's the thing. And, you know, we look at what's going on in Gaza, and I see nothing different. I see, a genocidal regime that actually has been doing this since its start. You know, they didn't come to the Holy Land with Bibles and roses, and, they didn't want to meet up with their cousins. They wanted to eliminate them.
Of course, and that was always clear from the beginning. They never even tried to hide it.
Right. And that's what I don't understand. If these are the same people coming back, or if they are the same people coming back, there's so many different things out there that, the converts and everything else. If these are the people coming back, you would think that they would be happy to be reunited with their brethren and not wanting to be taking them out. So with that being said, what next, Carrie?
What next?
What next?
Well,
exactly.
I think it comes down to awareness, because I think especially with this last round of bombing, you know, a lot of people were writing about, a lot of people were talking about it, that the tide of public opinion is really turning against Israel because it's just so obvious. I mean, they're just so ruthless that it's really hard for people not to wake up to it. And I know that Americans, a lot of them are still really blind to it because of the whole evangelical link to Israel and the righteousness there. But I think the rest of the world is really aware of it, just like the world has always been aware of American militarism. And again, American militarism hasn't really stopped yet, but I do think that the first step is awareness. And I mean, what was it? Sweden just voted to recognize Palestine, and so did a lot of other members of the EU. And I just think that eventually, I mean, it's like the emperor has no clothes. How long can Israel and Netanyahu sit around and talk about how righteous and just they are when all the evidence is to the contrary? And I mean, it was really heartening for me because I made this video, and it was actually, you said I'm not afraid to speak my mind, but I was really afraid to release this video because I knew, you know, how vitriolic people who oppose what I had to say can be. But I honestly, I received emails from people in Palestine telling me that I gave them hope. And I'm not really one to, you know, I don't like to brag. I don't like to be showy about praise that I get. But that, I mean, I was in tears because I never thought that just speaking out about it could bring someone who's suffering so much, just like a single ray of hope. And that means so much to me. And I think that the more people speak out and the more people just stop caring about the backlash they're going to get, the less backlash there's going to be.
Well, it's about being good. And it's about being a caring human being when you're... you take into consideration that others need to live just like you need to live. And I believe that a majority, and I do mean a majority of American Jews and also Israeli Jews, don't feel that same sentiment, because I talk to a lot of Israeli Jews and they're like, oh, well, we should annihilate them all. We should kill all the Palestinians. Well, why would you want to do that when somebody supposedly tried to do that to you already? So it's an oxymoron rhetoric that it really shouldn't be going on unless you were the person that did that awful crime in the first place and you're just you got used to doing it and you want to do it over and over. And it's difficult. I mean, there's... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that was really the most shocking part to me, to see people regurgitating this propaganda of, you know, in the same sentence saying that their family suffered at the hands of an authoritarian regime and then saying that they need to have an authoritarian regime in order to make up for all of the suffering that happened to them. And it was also frustrating because, I mean, there are a lot of Jews that are really understanding. Like my mom, it was actually the first video she liked of mine, my self-hating Jew video. She doesn't tend to agree with me, but she actually really liked it. And she always raised me, as I said in the video, to be kind to everyone and to support justice for everyone. But I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling to see that people are so able to have this cognitive dissonance and to excuse the worst crimes that they condone when done to them. And also to see people guaranteeing that there's going to be another Holocaust against Jews if they don't Holocaust other people. Like, it just, I had never seen such flagrant irrationality and disregard of logic in my entire life. So it was really, it took a few weeks. I was really down and really anxious because I had never been hit with so much hatred in my life of people just, I mean, there were people telling me I should be ashamed of myself, that what they called me a disgrace to Judaism. And these are people who went on Birthright once, you know, I mean, like, they have nothing to say for themselves and no facts to back themselves up. So it was a shock, but it was worth it.
We had an elderly lady by the name of Hetty Epstein on our show, and you know, she's an elderly lady, and they actually attacked her. They attacked her, and she basically crawled home in the snow. The cops followed her blood trail and everything. You might have seen her on RT News or some of the other stations where, you know, she speaks out about the injustices and recently the Ferguson shooting. But she actually got death threats and she was attacked, and they stop at no extent to cover up their crimes, do they?
No, not at all. And these are the sorts of things that you look back on, you know, 50 years out. I mean, hopefully, I mean, I want to look back on it now and be shocked, but I mean, it's sort of like you look back on Stalin and you look back on Hitler and you look back on their followers and you just wonder how people could be so brainwashed into being so hateful, and you see it happening today. And so it's really frustrating. But I mean, if I can wake up, and you know, I talked to a few Jewish people, messaged me privately to talk. They wouldn't do it publicly on social media, but they emailed me and they messaged me and they just had questions and they just wanted to know more. And so I shared my process with them because I had questions too. And so I think that for every hateful, horrible person there is, there's someone with a good conscience who is forced to ask questions.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the funniest thing is, I grew up in Long Island and I also lived in LA, where I have a lot of Jewish friends and I've known a lot of Jews and everything else. We never really grew up with the rhetoric that we're hearing today. I mean, you know, as kids, we used to make fun of the Hasidic Jews, not the ones that went to public school, but, you know, we used to call them the little curly girls and stuff like that. But also growing up as a Palestinian, I got the rhetoric also, you know, called every name in the book. But that has always toughened me up to be a nicer person and try to reach out instead of dividing. But it seems that every time we try to reach out for justice, they come back with division and attacks and hateful statements. I've been pretty much called every name in the book, and I'm sure you have too. So
it's been interesting.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, but I just want to know, when is this bullshit going to end? And I do mean bullshit, because it's there's nobody above anybody else. There is nobody that is chosen or any different than anybody else. So just like they have a right to live, so do the other people next door. That in their own land, to say the least.
Yeah, totally. Well, exactly. And I think that that's one of the fundamental problems with the ideology is this notion of the chosen people. And I was told that I misunderstood what chosen people means, but I'm pretty sure that if you're calling yourself the chosen people and using that as an impetus to murder other people and take their land, you think you're superior to other people. And I mean, it's not only Jews that have this view. There's a lot of groups that do feel that they're superior to others, but it's Israelis and Jews that have really put it into motion and really acted on it and really harmed others in doing so. A lot of other groups can't do that. I mean, they probably would if they could, but they don't have this little PR bubble surrounding them where anything you say is like a thought crime or a verbal crime against them. And I watched what is it called? Oh, it's called Defamation. Have you seen that documentary on the ADL?
No. What's it called? What's the documentary called?
It's called Defamation. It's actually Defamation.
Defamation. Okay.
Yes, I'll have Defamation.
I might have seen it, but I don't recall it. I'll have to look at it again.
Well, it's about a decade old, but it's been pretty much flagged all over the internet. It's really hard to find, but it's by an Israeli guy, and he's just investigating what it means. And you see this documentary, and you realize that these groups are – they're out looking for hatred and finding it where it isn't. It's like if you look hard enough for something, you're going to find it, and then you can manipulate it into whatever you want. And I think that's a lot of what has been going on with Israel.
Right. That's a part of the tactic, and that's the manipulation. It seems like a lot of them are either they know or they're just raised with the rhetoric and they don't know. Or they do know and they just, you know, close a blind eye to it and try to say, no, that's not happening and it's the Palestinians' fault. And, well, if it's the Palestinians, you know, I've never been able to understand, you know, it's usually the occupied and the oppressed that are always trying to free themselves from the occupiers and the oppressors. So who are the aggressors? It is not the people that live there. It is the people that are trying to take over their land.
Well, of course, exactly. And it's just always interesting to see people think that they're being compassionate. You know, they say, I'm so sorry for all the Palestinians who have died. died, but too bad, they did it to themselves, and they just completely absolved themselves of any responsibility and any guilt for committing these horrible acts. And even if you're not in the IDF bombing these people, you're supporting it. You're lending material support, you're lending ideological support, and you're creating this machine that's causing so much injustice that it's, I mean, it's really depressing. It's really sad to watch.
And unfortunately, we're all a part of it. Our tax dollars are funding it. Mm-hmm. And yet these politicians aren't adhering to our voices at all. They're not adhering to anything. And they're just going on and supporting it against the will of the people here in the United States. This seems to be a trend that is going on regardless in politics now, this whole new quote-unquote ISIS thing and everything else. I found out that ISIS is actually an American corporation that hires mercenaries to do role-playing. So it's becoming a very, very dangerous point in our lives here in the United States and worldwide. It seems like we're heading in for something that we don't want to be a part of. What do you think on that?
I completely agree. And I mean, they've been pushing the war machine for quite a while. And it just seems that anytime they hit a roadblock in public opinion, they just propagandize people until they agree. I mean, last year, no one wanted to invade Syria. America was not interested. And so what do? They manufacture ISIS and they start building up the huge threat. And all of a sudden, everyone's ready to commit airstrikes. And honestly, people don't even care. I made a video about Syria last week, just about the war propaganda. And I've talked about it with a lot of people, and it's just so low on their list of priorities, and it should be at the top. I mean, no one even cares about foreign policy anymore, and in my view, even if you don't care about foreign policy, it's still affecting everything else that you care about, because say you want social programs, say you want other things that are simply just being slashed because of the foreign policy. So if you don't take a look at the root drain on money and what's really destroying all of our foreign relations and all of the programs here at home, not to say I agree or disagree with any of them, but for anyone who has a political opinion, to ignore foreign policy is to ignore the entire root of the problem.
Yeah, that's true. I've got a direct question for you from a listener in the UK. AT in the UK, he says, in a world where religion has caused or causes war, bloodshed, generation after generation, could you ever see a time in your life where you would become an agnostic in the future? Tough question.
It was more cultural for me. So I've sort of always considered myself agnostic, but I became a yoga teacher this year, and I've really come into the belief that it's really consciousness and understanding. And I used to really hate religion because of all of the horrible things it's caused. But I'm to the point where it's like, if you're going to be peaceful, you can believe whatever you want. And I respect that. It's the problem comes when you're violent and you think that your religion justifies that violence. So I think that hopefully we can get to a point in society and in the future and in the world where people can just be respectful of other people's beliefs and accept that ultimately we're all seeking the same thing, which is a higher consciousness.
Do you think that we definitely need an overhaul of all the governments that we have going on around the world, especially here in the United States and this war machine, the industrialized military complex? I know you're very vocal about all of this stuff, so please fill us in what your thoughts are.
All right. Did you say an overhaul?
Yeah, an overhaul.
Oh, yeah. 100% completely. It's decayed and rotten to its core. And for my view, I think that any institution that operates on the threat of force or violence is inherently going to devolve into that. So when you have government institutions that impose their will and what they say is correct and moral on you, you're going to have violence. And I think it happens all.
When she comes back, we have a question. We have a caller on the line waiting.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBS
Radio.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
Welcome back to The People Speak on the BBS Radio Network. This is Rock Cash, and I've got my guest, Carrie Wedler. And Carrie, welcome back. Sorry we had a little phone issue, but it's all taken care of now. We have a caller online. Is that caller still online with the question? No, I'm okay. Let's move on till he calls back. Carrie, what would you say to Israelis listening in? Because we do have a few Israelis that are listening in. What would you say to those people that live there and say that, you know, they want to annihilate all the people in Gaza?
I would say that I understand your fear. You're afraid for your lives. You're afraid for the lives of your families because, yes, there are missiles that are occasionally fired into Israel, but I would also advise and caution that there's a long history of why these missiles are being fired and why people are so discontent in Gaza and in the whole of Palestine. And I think that even if you're just looking at it from a position of self-interest and you don't care whatsoever about Palestinians, by ignoring the history and by ignoring the realities of the situation there, you're asking for more attacks. So if you really just want to be concerned about Israel and you love Israel and you don't care about Palestinians, just try to recognize how the policy that your government is enacting perpetuates the exact attacks that you're afraid of and that you want to attack Palestinians for. That would be my main point, because when you are bombing innocent people, you're creating more terrorists and you're creating more people that want to end Israel. So unless you start listening to them, there isn't going to be any progress and you're not going to be any safer.
Wait, but who is a terrorist? You know, people that are fighting to free themselves and fend for themselves, I don't call them terrorists.
Don't either. But I mean, in the context of talking to an Israeli,
right?
I
call the people that are terrorizing the people that are trying to onslaught and disrupt the normal everyday lives of the people they are occupying. These are the people that I would call terrorists. We terrorize the heck out of the Native American Indians here in the United States. We call them animals, savages, everything in a book, just like what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians.
Well, of course, and it's imperialism to the worst degree. I mean, honestly, the Israeli soldiers have been given so much power and they've been so built up that they have no guilt and no shame when it comes to how sadistic they get in dealing with Palestinians. I mean, it's every single day they're abusing them. They take joy in it. They take pleasure in it. They're proud of it. And any society that glorifies that kind of violence really needs to take a look at itself. And that goes for America, too. And it makes sense that Israel and America are such partners in crime.
I agree. Just prior to the three Jewish teens that were kidnapped and supposedly killed, the Israeli soldiers were killing teens left and right. But, you know, all of a sudden, all three Jewish teens, and now, you know, everything else, we're going to war. We're going to go kill more Palestinians. But what about the teens they're killing on a daily basis?
Well, of course, and the ones they're putting in solitary confinement, they're detaining, and no one is reporting on, except, say, for the UN, and those reports are buried, and the media doesn't report on it. And it blows my mind to hear Israelis and Zionists say that the media is biased against them. I mean, if anything, they're not reporting the full extent of what happens, because the corporate masters would never allow it, because their interests are vested in keeping Israel as the good guy, because that plays into American foreign policy and global geopolitical power plays.
So what do you think of the mainstream media?
Well, I write for an organization called the Anti-Media, so that's pretty self-explanatory. But, I mean, I stopped watching TV a long time ago, and I don't regret it for a minute, because I watch 1 minute of MSNBC or Fox, and I want to rip my hair out. I mean, it's just so, what is the word? It's a flagrant abuse of the term journalism, and I recently read an article that it's something like half of everything Fox News says is false. It's not even true. And the same goes for CNN and MSNBC. They're not even reporting facts anymore. They're just reporting little tidbits of information and mixing it into a nice big soup of propaganda.
And, of course, this Ebola scare is just another media hype in my view.
Oh, totally.
I believe that they're trying to unleash fear so they can try to disarm the public and, you know, take over in a supremacist manner. It's crazy. I never thought that we would actually see this in our lifetime. And, you know, it's a scary moment. But at the same time, when you're in fear of your government, there's something wrong with that picture. It's no different than any other dictative country anywhere in the world where people have to fear their government, and it shouldn't be that way. We're a republic. Of course, this push for so-called democracy is just a doorstep to tyranny, and it's really a terrible onslaught that's going on right now just to push the profiteers. Your view?
Oh, of course. Oh, I completely agree. And I think that any time that the people are more afraid of the boogeyman that their government conjures up than they are of the government that's creating all the boogeymen, we have a problem. And it's especially frustrating for me with my generation, because we grew up, I was 13 on 9/11. And so my whole generation has grown up with nothing, but it's a combination of being terrified of what the government says is out there, but also knowing that your government is completely corrupt. And so for me, what I want to do in reaching out to people my age is to really make the real enemy clear. Because, I mean, people of my generation hate the police because they've been harassed by them. They've seen what the police do. So on one level, people are very aware. But on another level, they've also been raised with this progressive idea of that government is good and government takes care of people who need it. And to an extent, yes, the government diverts a tiny portion of its resources to that, but the vast majority of its budget goes to enslaving people. And I know that enslave is an extreme word, but when you're subject to the whim of government through how many different agencies and how many different kinds of police and how many different spy agencies, I mean, you are enslaved. You're not free. And when you're afraid to do things because of what the government might do, that's a bad sign.
If you were the Prime Minister of Israel, what would your actions be?
Disarm the IDF, immediately give back all the land taken, not 1967 lines. I'm talking back turn-of-the-century lines when the Zionists first came to Israel and started kicking people off their land that they claimed they bought righteously from Britain, because I'm sorry, but an imperial empire is not legitimate to me. That would be the first thing. I believe there needs to be a lot of restitution given to all of these people who have suffered. That would be a good start. That's a really great question, actually. I should probably think about it more. But, I mean, the first priority is just to try to give some semblance of justice. And you can never make up for all the suffering that's been inflicted, which is really a tragedy. But I think the best thing you can do is, one, to acknowledge it, because right now no one will even acknowledge it. And I think that that's the worst part. I mean, if they would at least admit that they've done something horrible, like their prime minister did, Ben Gurion, their first prime minister, founder of Israel, if the people today could at least have that much, you know, humbleness or humility or bravery to be able to admit that they've committed horrible atrocities, that would be a tiny step in the right direction. But of course, it needs to be completely, Israel needs to be scaled back. They're rampant and they're vicious, and it's like they have rabies and they just can't stop, and they keep spreading it to everyone.
I can only agree with you 1,000% because there are people out there. There are some Israelis out there that are saying no. You know, of course, there are soldiers that are refusing to go fight against the Palestinians. There are people out there that understand, but it's only a small percentage, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with American Jews. And European Jews. It's a very, very small percentage. I believe this has a lot to do with the conditioning, and you were subjected to that conditioning. I'm sure your parents were subjected to it also, and that's why it just goes on and goes on and goes on. Instead of trying to reverse it, they want to keep it going. Mm-hmm. That's the problem that I see.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think the scary part to me is that I wasn't even raised that way. I wasn't raised to believe that Israel was just. I was raised the opposite of that. And I still came out of public school and I still came out of my Los Angeles upbringing believing that Israel was a force of good, even with my mother telling me that I shouldn't believe that. So what does that say about how powerful institutions are and how powerful what we see on TV and what we learn in school can be? Because I never learned anything about Israel in school. All I learned was that they were an ally of America, and they were good, and they were a democracy in the Middle East, which couldn't be further from the truth.
What democracy? I've never seen one single Jew that has been persecuted or prosecuted for murdering a Palestinian for no just cause. As a matter of fact, there was a couple of Palestinians that caught an Israeli that killed 4 Palestinians on a bus, and they took justice into their own hands. And now they're facing charges for defending themselves against a Jew. They're facing charges. That's absolutely ridiculous. Every human being has a right to self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that people need to get through their minds here in the United States, is that Palestinians are no different than anybody else in the world. Neither are the Iraqis. Neither are the Syrians. Everybody has a right to defend itself against an aggressing force.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need to get that out to everybody. And, you know, you're doing a wonderful job yourself on YouTube with all your different videos. I especially liked it when you took off your shirt. Too bad there was another one underneath. But
yeah, I planned for that.
Of course. But it was awesome, that because you went from an Obama supporter to a demoter. because we all know what he's all about. We all know that he's chosen to be there. But you know what's scary? I think that an Israeli by the name of Rahm Emanuel is going to be the next one to be snuck into the White House.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of that. I've been sort of stuck on Hillary Clinton.
Well, yeah, but it might be her or him. We don't know. And I definitely don't want neither one.
Yeah, it's the same thing either way. It doesn't matter who's elected.
No, it doesn't matter because they're all controlled. They're all controlled by the different lobbyist groups that are out there. And, of course, the corporates, the bankers, and a lot of the groups. What do you think of the, Zionist-owned, bank system, the Rothschilds?
I mean, it's what enables American foreign policy. And I said earlier, I was saying that foreign policy is the root of all problems. And I almost interrupted myself to say central banking, but I'm glad you brought it up because it's the central banking and all of these institutions that have enabled this overbloated empire and all of this violence. And it goes back so far that it seems almost impossible to overcome. But I really do think that, especially with the rise of alternative currency and the way that the entire system is just crumbling, that eventually it's going to have to collapse. And I know it's not much, but I mean, the House did vote to audit the Federal Reserve, and that's, I mean, nothing. Just wait for Harry Reid to kill it in the Senate. But at least it's a sign that people are skeptical, because the House voted to audit because people are ready for it. People are ready to know what's going on with these institutions, and they know that something is not right. So I think that just that skepticism in and of itself is a good sign.
I'm guessing that you're out of the realm of the Zionist onslaught. In other words, I've been on chat programs where American Jews will come on and say, and these are young guys that are going over to fight with the IDF. They're like, oh, we're going to burn America up. We're going to send it into the cookie jar, and it's going to be burned up, and we're going to leave it penniless. And what do you say to all of that rhetoric? And these are people that live here in the United States.
They're saying they want to do that to America, or that our views are doing that to America?
They say that they're going to do that to America. It's in the woodworks, supposedly. They're going to collapse the economy, and that's not hard to do, especially right, with the market pretty much being controlled. That's one thing I've seen as a game that is played on the American public. They'll bring the stocks up, you'll make a little bit of money, and then they'll pull the rug out from underneath you and take it all. So that's one thing I would never get into is the stock market. Because it's just a sham. It's a game. Companies unload their IPOs onto people, and then the people resume the risk, and these people cash out, and they're gone. And I know that for a fact.
And I mean, it's a scary thought to think about the economy collapsing, but I was just reading a study today done by a Swiss bank, and it found that the ratio of, I believe it's wealth to income, is the highest it's been since the Great Depression. And every time that ratio gets high, I think it was at 6.5 or 6 around the Great Depression, and it's right around it right now, there's an economic recession. It happened before the dot-com bubble burst. It happened before the housing market burst. So I hate to say it and I hate to believe it, but it does seem like there is another big crash coming. And it makes sense after all the quantitative easing and all of the manipulation. I mean, it's bound to happen, and I just wish that more people were aware of it and were expecting it, because there are a lot of people who think the economy is getting better right now, and they think that Obama has fixed it and just hailed in this recovery, and that's not the case.
Oh, no. Obama can't even fix his tie, let alone the economy. It is happening. What's that? The wealthiest, the 1% own 35% of the world's population? Or,
it's 48 now. I read it in the report today. It's 48%.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's up. Yeah.
That's crazy. And the lower level only owned 2%.
Yeah. Tragic. And unfortunately, most people that are subject to this horrible disparity don't know the root cause, and so they keep turning to it to make it better, and then it only gets worse.
Well, here's the root cause, and the root cause is that there are governments that are creating all of this. There are governments that we put in place, and we allowed them to put themselves in place. We, you know, we didn't put them in place, but we allowed them by going to fight the wars, by joining the military, by adhering to laws that they are imposing on us that they won't impose on themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, once humanity figures out that they've been shamed, you know, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. You know,
yeah, what was it? Henry Ford said, it is well and good that the people of the nation do not understand, I think it's the banking system, for if they did, there would be a revolution by tomorrow morning. So I'm just waiting for people to figure it out. I should probably do a video on central banking.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. That would be pretty good if we can get one. I know that I'm going to be working on a documentary. I'm putting it together now. And it's scary because some of the commercials that I see, you know, like CVS Pharmacy, we want to make sure you're taking your medication. Really?
Yeah.
you like us that much.
Yeah, exactly. You care about our well-being so intensely.
Right. And I think that is the scariest commercial I have ever witnessed on television. When they're saying, we want to make sure you're taking your medication. Bottoms up, America.
Exactly.
Well, and it's exactly what's going on. And it's bottoms up, America, because everybody is being taunted and destroyed. And while they're watching and believing the mainstream media networks.
Yeah, and people are just popping their antidepressants that they're taking because they're so miserable, because they're so stuck in the establishment and the machine. And I don't mean to say that there aren't people who are legitimately depressed. I understand that. But I think that they're grossly overprescribed, and I think just a symptom of a deeply flawed society that is way too entrenched in violence and in establishment and all the propaganda that's been shoved down their throats. And I mean, what are they advertising on all of this corporate news? Every commercial is pharmaceuticals.
Well, I think the reason for depression and, you know, clinically depressed people, I believe that, you know, the media and television has put out the standard out there. And when people aren't fitting that standard, oh, well, they're not well, they're depressed and, you know, they're clinically depressed and we need to help them. This is a well-organized deception ploy that they are putting on the American public. And the media, I believe, is largely, you know, complacent to that. Movies, I was watching a sci-fi movie from the 70s, and they were talking about how they were going to, and this is a movie, it was a sci-fi, and they were talking about how they were going to buy up all the farms, and they were just going to keep people with their bellies full. It didn't matter what they fed them, just as long as their bellies were full. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is what's coming to life today. So they're telling us this stuff in the media from years ago, like Logan's Run and everything that they're wanting to do. And now we have the RDIF or the RFID, the radio frequency identification device. So what is it these people know that we don't know, besides that they want to control everybody like herd animals?
I mean, they know that people are easily led, I think. I mean, it goes back to, I don't know if you've heard of a man, Edward Bernays. He sort of engineered public relations and advertising in the 20th century, and he also helped propagandize World War I for the government. But he was of the view that you could engineer consent and that you could manipulate people into doing what the elites thought was best for them. And that's really come to fruition throughout the entire 20th century. And I mean,
you talking about that sci-fi movie reminds me of Fahrenheit 451, where they're talking about having three giant telescreens on their walls and people are just so obsessed with their TV shows that they don't even hear the bombs being dropped overhead and all of the warplanes flying. And unfortunately, that's pretty much where we are as a society today. But I do also think that in the midst of empire and in the midst of such blatant oppression, we're that much closer to a breaking point. I think the worse it gets, the closer we get to something shattering, because at some point, I mean, history proves it. People always wake up and rebel. It may take a really long time and we're really frustrated about it, but eventually there will be a critical mass of people who just don't want to take it anymore. And I think, especially on the heels of things like Ferguson, people are starting to wake up. As much as there are people who are terrified of Ebola and of ISIS, there are people who are sick of being harassed by police and sick of seeing their fellow citizens harassed as well. And I think that that's really going to be an impetus for change and for something to really start happening.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I've got another question for you from the UK, at Trades in the UK. What would you consider would be a truly progressive move regarding making a difference towards stopping the fighting? How would you stop the wars and the territorial invasions within the Israeli region?
Do you mean just in the Middle East or specifically Israeli aggression?
Well, that one was the Israeli aggression.
I mean, I think, honestly, I'm a fan of the BDS movement of boycotting and divestment and sanctions. And it's really shown a lot of progress. I mean, I know people who were involved with the blockade on the port up in Oakland, and it upsets Israelis so much. And I think it's forcing them to realize that people aren't going to put up with it. And they lost a lot of profits because a lot of countries just didn't want to buy their products. And I think ultimately everything comes down to economics. And when you're starving the beast to the point where they realize that that kind of behavior is not going to make them any money and it's not going to make them prosperous, I think there's a lot of potential for change there. And it sounds kind of wimpy, you know, but I don't think that more violence is the solution. I don't think we should go bomb Israel, you know, as an outside power. I don't think that that's the solution either. I think it has to be, you know, something peaceful, because if we want to create more peace, we have to be peaceful. That's my view. You can't create peace through violence.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it seems like the peaceful are always stepped upon and they're attacked in the same token. So at sometimes I believe, you know, an eye for an eye is the golden rule, because these people that spew violence only understand it.
That's true. That's totally true. But I do think, I mean, I'm not going to condone violence against Israel. There are people who are fighting for their freedom there, and they're completely justified to do that. I'm not sure I agree with intentionally bombing civilians, just as I disagree with Israel killing civilians on the other side. But I do think that it is important, especially for younger generations, to be exposed to the ways of peace and to the ways that Israel violates that. And that's one of the more frustrating things, is to see how people in Israeli public institutions and public schools are brainwashed to believe the Israeli story and not learn anything else. And they go their whole lives not even meeting a Palestinian and thinking that they're these demons who live right across the way from them and they're constantly plotting to murder them. I mean, it's just absurd, and it sounds so ridiculous when you look at it from an outsider's perspective. But when you're growing up and that's all you ever hear, that's how future IDF soldiers are made. And so I think we have to get to the younger generations and really teach them about true nonviolence and true justice.
Well, that's true, not just in Israel, but it's true here in the United States also.
Totally.
You know, you have preachers like Robertson and Falwell and all these guys saying, oh, the Muslims are coming to get us and the Muslims are coming to get us. But the Muslims are over there, and our troops are over there, and the Muslims that live here, nobody's coming to get anybody. And, you know, these, what I want to call, don't get me wrong, I'm a Christian from the Holy Land, from Palestine and everything, but these conditioned tards are just that. They are conditioned tards. And it seems like no matter what, you cannot bring them out of that stage of conditioning that the evangelical Church and the Born Again Christian Church here in the United States has put them into. It's like a deep hypnosis that they just can't come out of and open their eyes and see the light. And God forbid that ever happens, because then I would feel sorry for Israel.
Right, exactly, exactly. And that's the thing, is when people are that far gone, I think it's a waste of energy, honestly, to try to talk to them, unless you have some amazing reasoning skills, which I don't think mine are good enough yet. I mean, I don't try with those kinds of people. You know, the people who were telling me that I should go get murdered in Gaza and see if I still support Palestinians, you can't work with these people. You know, they're so far gone and they're so hysterical that it's really difficult. But there are people who are sort of walking this fine line, and they're not sure that what they believe is correct, but they're afraid to go the other way. And so those are the people I'm looking for, the people who can feel it in their gut that something is wrong, but are just a little bit too scared. And I want to give them that final push and be, you know, whether it's a video or whether it's a conversation, just say something that they may not even agree with in the moment, but maybe a year, 5 years, 10 years down the line, they see something and they remember what I said, or what anyone said to them. It's not just me, what anyone who is trying to spread this message says to them, and they'll remember it. And I know this because back when I was asleep, people said things to me that I didn't realize and I didn't understand until just recently. And it just made me go, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. I had a college professor say something about central banking back when I was a huge Obama supporter, big Keynesian. And I remembered it a couple of years ago and I just had to laugh because it just made so much sense looking back on it. So there is hope. If I can come around from being a blind Obama supporter, there's a lot of hope, because I was gone. I mean, when I think about it, I was hysterical. So maybe there is hope even for the crazies.
Well, might be some hope for some of the crazies, but the thing is, a majority of the people, and I've come across this here in the U.S., majority of the people just don't care.
Yeah.
As long as they've got their beer, they've got their sex, they have the rock and roll, the drugs and the football games, mm-hmm. they don't care. They're busy watching a boob tube and thinking they're in heaven.
Yeah.
How do we wake these people up? They just don't care. And I don't know if you noticed today, but every time that we're supposed to get rain here in California, they're spraying the skies with chemtrails just before the storms.
Now I'm going to start noticing.
Did you look outside?
It's actually dark for me now. There was a really pretty sunset about 20 minutes ago, but it was rather cloudy today in Los Angeles.
You could still see the chemtrails going on up there. They've been going on for the past few days. So it seems like this drought phenomenon is, I think, just a BS thing that, Jerry Brown just wants to issue another bond, and he wants to impose more laws and take away your water rights. Mm-hmm. It's all about the business end of it. And mm-hmm. I believe that we are intentionally being put into this drought.
I wouldn't doubt it. Honestly, I will not pretend that I have researched it very much, but I have noticed all of these absurd ads for Californians to conserve water without even acknowledging all of the huge businesses that take up the vast majority of water. But we're supposed to get rid of our grass and put in AstroTurf. That's the solution. I mean, it's always coming down on the little people to make up for the corruption and the mistakes of the big ones. And
right, while the governments are still watering the lawns and mm-hmm. they're imposing the laws on us, but they're not following them themselves. And I will not adhere to any laws that they're not willing to impose on themselves. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Period. Anyways, thank you, Carrie. Once again, let everybody know where they can watch your videos, your YouTube channel. Go ahead and plug that in for us.
All right. Well, I suggest going to youtube.com and searching Carrie Wedler. That's CareyWed, like dog, LER. I give you my channel name, but it's Carrie Elizabeth 824. I can't change the URL, so I'll just give you my name. You can find me on YouTube. You can check the antimedia.org for my most up-to-date writing. They're an awesome website. very anti-establishment. They're reporting on everything that this kind of audience really cares about, wants to know about. You can also just find me on Facebook, Carrie Wedler, and my website is www.inrogue.co. That's I-N-R-O-G-U-E. And when my book comes out, that name will probably make a lot more sense.
Absolutely. Looking forward to your book. Thank you for joining us, Carrie Wedler. This is Rock Cash signing off for this week. Don't forget to join us next week. Dwayne Dietz, NSA Director on the science behind 9/11. We'll see you all next week. Have a good evening. And thank you, Carrie.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.